We're up to halacha tes. Halacha is on page Nuntes. Page Nuntes, halacha tes. The Iker Chayzek HaChasidus Mitrida. This topic discusses the sugya of the next mitzvah of Shmiras Einayim. There are some rabbanim we can get over here. They can give us a shmooze like we never heard before.
You didn't do it yesterday?
No, we didn't. I thought we get to yesterday. Yesterday we were still focusing on teshuvah, on the mitzvah of teshuvah, and really musra. Really, if you want, it's interesting to go define each halacha, give it one word of definition. I think halacha ches is musra. Zayin is teshuvah. Ches is musra. What's musra? Humility. Musra is don't take credit for yourself. Tes is now the sugya of shmiras einayim. A person has to be careful not to look at things that are not proper. The Iker Chayzek HaChasidus Mitchila V'Atzoif, from beginning until end, Avki Shemisleitzim Olav Eino Meniach HaChasidusoi. The Iker concept of being a Chassid is to be strong, is to stay the course, and not to succumb to public pressure. Person takes upon himself stringencies. People laugh at him. Why are you so machmir? Ever since when have you been such a tzaddik that you do not want to do things that we've been doing our entire lives? So a person has to be strong, and even though people will they will laugh, they will mock him. So he does not succumb to pressure. And his kavane is to serve Hashem. Now here he goes into a topic, a very sensitive topic. The Einoi Roye Pinei Noshim. Now this, to a degree, has gotten out of hand in our generation. And to a degree, it's gotten a lot worse. Okay? It's gotten out of hand in public. And it's gotten a million times worse in private. Okay, behind closed doors, when no one is watching, it's a big problem. When everyone is watching in public, it's a little bit extreme today, okay? Everything has to be separate seating, there has to be mechitza up to the ceiling, and you have to walk on two sides of the sidewalk, men on one side, on the other side. Things that are in public, in the papers, newspapers, a woman, you can't have a picture of a woman, you all know, that's in public. Private is a whole different world. When no one is watching, it's shocking what people are looking at, what they're seeing, what they're doing, and it's interesting how, you know, it's zelu mazeh. I really wonder that if in private there was not such a problem, in public it would be a very different situation. Very likely there might even be mixed seating today if there wasn't such a big nisoyon of what takes place behind closed doors. It's almost like you're acknowledging your guilt by going to the extreme in public of having everything to such extremes. Separate entrances for men, women, a mechitz that goes all the way to the ceiling, wearing burqas. It's almost an acknowledgement. You know why I'm doing these crazy things in public? Is because I have to compensate for the terrible averos I'm doing in private. There is truth to what I'm saying. Not on a personal level, person by person, but as a community, it's the reports are that in private, there are serious problems. And in public, we're laughing at ourselves daily on, this is ridiculous, okay?
Public is for show.
What?
Public is for show.
Yeah, but why are we doing it for show? We're doing it for show subconsciously because we know how bad we are privately.
Right.
It's telling almost. When people are going to such extremes publicly, they're basically advertising, I have a problem. I don't want you to know about my problem. And because I don't want you to know about my problem, I have to go to an extreme.
It's a reaction.
And chas v'shalom to say about an individual that this is the case. But as a community, if we do find that the community at large, in public, is going crazy, women are, you know, it's an indication that privately we're not up to speed, we're not on guard, we're not doing what we should be doing, even on a basic level.
How come in the base of English they had the women on top there, they had to put the people by the
Okay, but they were on top. They could be viewed. They were different. They were different. There were three different stages. First, the women were inside. The men were outside. Then it was the other way around. The women were outside. The men were inside. And then they put the women on top. Okay, but fine, they have to be separate. The Beis HaMikdash,
so you're saying that they also had the terrible...
No, that's the Beis HaKnesses. In the Beis HaKnesses, Mikdashi Tirohu, we spent the whole week on this. No, Mikdashi Tirohu.
You mentioned the Mechitzas of the...
So it was probably there. We went on in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm willing to bet. No shul today, no Orthodox shul today would allow such standards like they had by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The women were on top. How high were they already? And they were on the bottom. And the men could look up their eyes and they could see all the women. And so today, the Simchas Torah, even in all the shul, they open up the mechitzas, but they don't take down the walls. I'm willing to bet, I don't know for sure, the degree of separation that took place in the Beis HaMikdash during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was a lot less than the degree of separation that takes place today in the average shul on Simchas Torah. I don't know, but at least the women were able to see. They were on top. They were able to see. If they were able to see, they didn't have one-way glass those days. They were able to see. So that means that they couldn't see, the men couldn't see. They have to pick up their head to see. Well, they could see, right? And before they put them on top, they put them outside. So when you walk into shul, who are you passing? You're passing the women. And originally, what was it? The women were inside. So the women had to pass the men to get inside. And those were problematic. There has to be separation. But just because they're separated doesn't mean you can't see each other. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's a special, we spend the whole week on this, there's a special halacha from the Beis HaMikdash, this is the Raita, Umikdoshi Tirohu, from where we learned that in the Beis HaMikdash there must be separation. Now, how that translates into the modern world and all the areas of davening and simcha and v'chulu, that's a whole different topic of discussion. But it's something to take note of that is no question. Years ago, we never saw such extreme chumras being done in public. It was very common to have mixed seating. It was very common that the standards of mechitzas were much less. It was there were things that were done that today are not acceptable. And it's very obvious. The reason why is because those days there was no nisyonos in private, almost didn't exist. What did you already could do already been private? To watch television? What are you going to see on television? I Love Lucy? Come on. What are you so afraid of? What's going to happen on television? Then, when video became popular, okay, VHS, you could bring into your home, a lot of schmutz through a video recorder. But you had to go to the stores to go rent the videos. It wasn't so posh that you would bring that into your house, but it became a nisoyin for many people. And now, they shut down, there's no video store anyway, it's shut down. Everything is online. You can watch, you have at your disposal to watch every movie that was ever filmed from the beginning of time till today. Every single thing is available by the click of a finger in private, and no one is watching. So the nisyonos became very difficult in private. And unfortunately, people are nichshol. And people are nichshol, they feel guilty. How do they react when they're guilty? They have to show that they're not guilty by doing things in public, going to extremes. So it's clear as day, the situation we have in front of us in public is basically an advertisement that to the world, we are guilty of what we are doing in private. Correct? Is anyone going to argue with me on this point?
No.
Okay.
I have a question.
There was no issue whatsoever. Obviously, you have to take this in context. You have to each his own. Everyone in their madrega. You can't compare a woman, a young woman who is not dressed, to a woman who is 120 years old, fully dressed. You can't compare a man who is a teenager and whose hormones are on steroids to a person who is an old man. Every situation is different. He means in a situation where it's some do and some don't, Okay, some do and some don't. So this person wants to be machmir. He wants to be machmir. Okay, whatever it is, these are very sensitive issues. But everyone can appreciate that this is true to a degree. I always tell you that story. I told everyone in private, it's the Shabbos Shabbat, because I always know when I grew up in a young Israel. So to me, this whole thing, you know, I was not sensitive to all this. Go to a Kiddush on Shabbos. Every Shabbos is a Kiddush in a teeny little room. You know, the young Israel, a standing only Kiddush, mixed men and women. Everyone is body on body on Shabbos. Okay, the mechitza, you can see through the mechitza. And even among the very religious, there was mixeding. There was not necessarily mechitza. I grew up and it was different. Then I got a little bit older. So my friends, I went to a Haredi yeshiva, and then the yeshiva started getting upset. What is this, all this mixed eating and all of these things? And they started making takonas, v'chulu. And I used to make a little tzonis. What's this, all this mishagas? And then one of my chaverim was invited me to a sheva brachas, a Shabbos sheva brachas. And many of the people in my class were married, and they came with their wives. They just got married, so they're in their 20s. Their wives were dressed to kill. Okay? And it was sitting around Shabbos. So Shabbos, you're allowed to sit mixed seating. We come to the table, a big table, there are a number of couples. And these are choshva b'nei Torah. And everyone is very dignified, and it's a very long Shabbos meal, a lot of speeches. By the end of the meal, even the most dignified b'nei Torah were loose. And they were talking to their friends' wives. And these are young people, you know, like I told you, just got married, dressed to kill. And I'm like, wow, this has gone a little bit too far. And these are people who are b'nei Torah, and I right away saw firsthand, you know something? You know, there's something to it. There's something to it. It's a very dangerous game. It wasn't a schnapps. It's the way it is. This is reality. This is the real world. This is the real world. So you'll tell me, okay, but maybe, no, so it wasn't done right. Next time, they shouldn't put the young couples together, this, that. You can, of course, there's no question about it that you could have done the same exact thing, just a teeny, teeny little bit different. Just a teeny little different, and it would have been fine. It would have been fine. But you know, it's a big world out there, and these things happen every single day. And it doesn't take much for something to go wrong, and from one, not everyone is a tzaddik, not everyone is able to control himself, and one thing leads to another, and it's a very dangerous game you're playing. And you know something? I stopped making litzanas. It's taka true, you gotta be very careful. It's not a simple thing, and you shouldn't judge. Ein hachanami, there are certain chumrus that maybe not all of us are comfortable with, but you should know, you never know. You never, when you see the other side of what could happen, if you're not careful, you know, it's not so simple. So I learned my lesson, and you have to find a proper balance. You have to find the proper balance.
Not my son lives in Cleveland, and there's a couple there will not go out for Shabbos lunch and Friday anymore, but they know they'll be speaking
tempted.
Lashon Hara.
All right. Lashon Hara, that's a different studio.
So, that means you can't mix.
That's an extreme chumro. Look, they say the Chavetz Chaim didn't stop talking. People to the Chavetz Chaim, he didn't say a word. Mm-hmm. Chavetz Chaim was known, he did not stop talking. He loved to talk. But he knew how to control himself. You're right, so some people, they don't have that ability. One thing leads to another. All right, let's everyone to each his own. It's just a matter of appreciation. Ve'ena roy ena roy p'nei nashim befrat bein anashim acherim amongst other bein anashim acherim shekulam roy manashim kigoin. For example, people are laughing at you. How come you don't want to go to this event? It's mixed seating. Everyone, there are so many other tzaddikim who are going to this event, and they're going to be sitting mixed seating. So what's the problem? If it's good for them, why is it not good for you? Shekulam roim hanoshim. You go and show me zachupa. Shanoshim shom miluvoshois adayim adoyim jewelry. The noshim are dressed to kill. Vakol mistaklim, and everyone is gazing at the noshim, at their beautiful gowns and their dresses. Vuhu enay mistakel. And he decides, you know what, I don't need to see what she's wearing. I don't need to see her jewelry. I don't need to see her gown.
What year is this?
What? 800 years ago. 800 years ago, and that was nothing compared to what we have today. They didn't have the makeup. They didn't have the hairdressers. They didn't have the gowns, all the sophisticated things,
long shalos.
They didn't have all these things. And look what he's writing over there. The einay mistakel lefichach yizkeh. So here the Sefer Chasidim says that if you're careful, a person wants to be machmir, and of course don't be a mishugana, don't go to an extreme, but within reason, everything has to be taken in context. Yiske leroy tuv hatzofun, he will merit an abundance of good that is sofun, that is hidden away from Ashakas of Asher Tzafanta L'Reach, that you are put away for those who fear you. The einay tispa, the eye that chose not to look at something that's not proper, in reward, will merit to look, will be satisfied, sated, miziv hashchina, to look at the ziv hashchina. Melech biyofyoi, the king in his beauty, sechezeno einecho, your eyes will see. Who does the king refer to? The pshuta shel mikra is the king of the klal Yisrael, the melech of Mashiach. But others say he refers to Hashem. You'll be able to see the ziv hashchina. The melech refers to the melech malchei hamlachim. How does one merit that his eyes should merit to see the ziv hashchina if he controls his eyes and does not look at things that he should know that he should not be looking at on his level? Therefore, toivol adam kishipagei biisha. If a man makes contact with a woman, comes to contact, hein bepnuya, hein nesua, hein aramis, whether she's a not married, whether she's married, whether she's a non-Jewish woman, hein Israelis, hein gedoyla, whether she's an adult, hein katana, lahavir panav, he should avert his gaze, milistakil ba, don't, histaklis means to dwell upon. This re'il means just a quick look. Histaklis means an intense gaze. Steer. Shekein motzinu bi'iyoiv, berisi iyoiv said in his merit, beris korati le'enai. I made a covenant with my eyes. And what was the covenant? Umo espoinein al besula. Why should I look at a young woman, a young unmarried woman? What benefit is there for me to gaze at her beauty? I made with my eyes a covenant. I would not do this in order not to contaminate my neshama. The chen ksiv is sefer ben Sira. Ben Sira was known to be a sefer of chokhma. Interesting, he's not even quoting a holy source. Ben Sira was known that even, and actually there's a lot of discussion amongst the Goyim today in the 21st century, what is the effect of looking at these things online? What effect does it have on people? And there's an enormous amount of studies done, and the results are not very, very pleasing. Even forget about a religious perspective. Let us focus on from a secular point of view. Is it healthy for the mind to see these things? What are the long-term effects? And I have here a little book, and it's over here. I'll show it to you in a few moments. And it's very interesting what the Goyim say, what the studies have shown, the people who look at these things, what effect it has upon them when they get older. Avert your eyes from a beautiful woman. Pen tilaked bim tsudasa, you will be trapped in her net. V'chein, furthermore, oitzem eina meroisbera, a person who closes his eyes from looking at evil. Zed, what does this passage refer to? Zed she'ein mistakel b'nashim b'shar she'ungas al hakvisa, when they are doing laundry. When they are doing laundry, they're doing a lot of movement. When a woman is stationary, it's a still picture. Okay, so then there's a beauty to it. But when a woman is in motion, watching a video, when it says over here alachvisa, basically means watching a video. It's one thing to look at a picture. It's much worse to look at a woman in motion film. Why? Movement. When there's movement, it is more pleasing. You have more pleasure. You look at a still picture, so you see a woman. Is she pretty? Is she not pretty? Finished. When she's in movement, it arouses the mind, the imagination, much more when a woman is in motion. Ancient times, there was no film. So what was the equivalent of watching a video in the time of Chazal, looking at a woman when they're doing the laundry? Because when they're doing the laundry, they're moving back and forth, they're running around, they're moving. That creates more arousal in a man. Shemechabsois is begematria video. You don't try to figure out the numbers. Shemechabsois big dayem umagbios es levushehen shlo yitonfu. The oz megalis shaken when they're doing the clothes, they want to make sure that their clothes does not get dirty because they're getting wet. So they move their clothing here, they move the clothing there, and it opens up the mind, the imagination. The shoik beisha erva, any part of a woman that you see is considered an erva. The chayin omar hachacham ein choytzeitz if neataiva ki atzimas einayim. There is nothing that you could possibly do to prevent taiva. The ultimate is not to see. Because once the thought has been put, once the vision has been put into your mind, it percolates. It percolates for hours, for days, and a person can find himself 5 days later being aroused because of a memory of something that he saw 5 days before. If he did not, and it can lead him to do something that's not proper, and if he did not see that image, then it would have not have transpired over the course of time this arousal and this action. You don't realize that these things percolate. They percolate, they grow, and they affect the person days later, years later. There's a story, one of the Gedolim says that you don't want that in the middle of Ne'ilah, Yom HaKippurim, suddenly an image should come up in your mind. It's not a good thing. The best preventive medicine, a person to a very large degree, especially in today's day and age, is we can't control our minds. All of this stuff about you have to learn how to control yourself, I don't know, Rabbi Yisrael, it doesn't work for me. I'm sorry, maybe you're over here, you're more disciplined, you're better trained. It doesn't work for me. For what I know, it doesn't work for 95% of the population. Maybe you go back 500 years ago, people had discipline, they were able to control their thoughts. I don't know. To me, it doesn't work. So what then today is the only medicine, the only preventive measure is don't see. If you don't see, then what you don't see can't harm you. It can't percolate in your mind. It can't affect you later on. And that's what he's telling us over here is the only chatzitza. He already said this 800 years ago. Talking to our generation. A lot of things about Sefer Chassidus. I think why it's becoming so popular now, Sefer Chassidus, is because he really hits the nail on the head. A lot of the things that we hear today are just make-believe. They're not true. Truth hurts. He said things 800 years ago that are so truthful. Today you'll go read about some type of online therapy, not have hirhurim. They'll tell you to do exercises, therapy, to control your thoughts. Learn how to control your thoughts, how to go for therapy. He says, 800 years ago, he says, therapy, shmerapy. You know what the therapy is? The therapy is, don't look! Don't look! Don't say, oh, I'm going to go to a place where women are not, I'm going to go to the beach. It's hot, you know, it's very hot. I have to go in the summer to the beach. I'm going to sit by the beach, and all these nashim are going to walk in front of me the whole day at the beach. I don't have an issue, because I've gone for therapy. And they've taught me how, just because I see a woman that's not dressed, it will have no effect on me later on in the day or forever. Therapy. So he says here, what kind of therapy is this? Nonsense. It's not going to work, all the therapy. If you don't want to have a problem, so don't go to the beach. Don't go to the beach. Don't allow yourself to be exposed to these things. If you don't have a problem. He knew what he was talking about. He wasn't so sophisticated to talk about therapy. He hit the core of what the issue is. He was aware of his tongue, said the Hasidim. Okay, now, before we go, let's go further. Yud.
Why does the Torah go into detail? Why do we have to...
There is a mila to beauty. There is a mila to beauty, but there's a beauty that is permitted, your own wife, and there's a beauty that's not permitted. The stipler says, I have here, but I should show you, I want to do one paragraph, because I have a lot of good stuff here on Birchas HaMazon, I want to discuss it later. I have over here this fantastic book here. See this? The Battle of Our Generation, A Practical Guide to Shmirat HaBrit. And this normally is put on here with all of the Breslov of the stuff. You know the Breslov of the stuff? It's all about one thing. It's all about Shmira Sabris. I don't even... So this was a nice color cover. It was red and yellow, and there's a guy here on the internet. So I was curious. So I picked it up and I read it. And it's fantastic. It is so real, so practical. They put a whole pile of them. The problem over here is there are some... It's very graphic. So the person there, it wasn't the rabbi, but someone in the shul said he read it also, and he said, this is really good, but it does not belong in the Beis Medrash. Okay, it does not belong piled up in a shul. So he had it removed. He took it out of the shul because Everyone should read this. Everyone should read this. Everyone heard all of the vocabulary he uses over here. If you listen to the radio, 10-10 wins, it's impossible. You don't hear every single word that it says.
Since Bill Clinton.
Okay? You heard every single word that you're familiar with. It's very, very detailed, very graphic what it says here. And everyone in our generation, every adult should definitely read this. And it's not written in any extreme way whatsoever. It's written in a very, very... with a lot of delicacy, but it doesn't belong, the rabbi is 100% right, it doesn't belong sitting piled in the Beis Medrash. There are certain things you don't bring into the Beis Medrash. But before they took it out, I got a hold of one, and I read it, and it's good. One thing that really resonates with me, I'll even read to you, is from the Stipler. The Stipler says, the Stipler Gaon promised three things if one is Shomer Habrit. Was obviously by a Sardi. For every pleasure that a person denies himself solely because the Torah forbids it, he will ultimately receive that pleasure in a permissible way. Okay, that's a very powerful thing. Number two, the Stipler said, if one withstands his forbidden desires, he gains an unfathomable large holy light and at that moment is on the level of Yosef HaTzadik. And that's a little bit mystical. Number three, he also merits divine assistance in all his endeavors, success in Torah study, and guidance in character improvement. There's something to it. It's a very, very big nisayon for every person on their level. And to control yourself, is you really being put in this generation, every person is put continuously in the situation of Yosef HaTzadik, Ashes Potifar. No one's watching, no one knows, you're all alone, who's going to know, who cares, anyway we're contaminated, a little bit more, what's the difference? It's not so. Every single Nisayon stands on its own. And for every time a person controls himself, he merits special bracha. And as you said, Torah many times discusses beauty. That's right, there is beauty. There is beauty in a permissible way. Don't you want your children to be beautiful children? A person has a wife. There are pleasures of ri'iyah that are permitted. And there are pleasures of ri'iyah that are forbidden. And he's telling us that if a person is in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you an opportunity, instead of having a facelift, and instead of having cosmetic surgery, you have an opportunity here. You can save yourself $50,000. Don't look. Don't look at this image. And in merit of that, you will merit to have an image. You'll merit in a permissible way. There will be beauty, something pleasurable to look at that will be much more worthy, much more significant, much more lasting than this narishkeit that the Yetzer Hara fools us into taking advantage of just for the moment. The whole book here is very, very good. I can't really say these things. It's not right for me to say some things it says over here, but it's definitely, if you want to borrow it, kol hakavod, and maybe I can get more copies. It's interesting. Okay. One thing that's very good about this generation is, see, it's out in the open. Years ago, you would never find this. Never, ever in a million years would you have everyone even mentioning the problem exists. Today, it's more and more. We got a problem and we got to deal with it.
Is that better?
We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice today. That's the difference. You can't deny anymore. We've gotten to the point where first you can say the internet is awesome. Awesome. Then, okay, you can have email. But you can't have internet. Okay, you can have internet. But you cannot. You have to have a filter. Now, that's not the issue. Is you could have the internet, but you have to deal with it. And one of the very big brachas of the last couple of years is the technology has advanced to such a degree that there are tools available to protect yourself like never before. Okay, someone in the yeshiva, he told me I should look into this filter called NetSpark. It's made by Israelis. It's the most advanced filtering technology in the world. Now, what does it do? The old technology, I'm not going to give a whole long shiur on the old technologies of how all different filtering works. But now the better technology is your internet service is redirected through to called a DNS server, and they filter out all the things that are inappropriate in different ways. The problem with that is they usually block too many things. They block too many things, and it becomes very frustrating. You need to go to sites that are 100% legitimate, but the technology is just not so advanced, so it thinks there's something wrong, so it blocks it. And sometimes it leaves open things that you should not be looking at. The biggest complaint is it's blocking too much. So when you put the settings on a lighter mode, it does not block enough. Nishtahi nishtahem. So this technology basically blocks nothing. But what it does is, in every single thing that is not blocked, it analyzes, basically word by word. So it will basically rewrite the page for you. The page, you'll go to a website, it's going to show you. Certain things it's not going to let you go. Certain things that are so obvious will not let you go to. But even things which are questionable, it will allow you access. Just the specific sentence or the specific paragraph that it finds possibly offensive is censored. And you wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't even know it. So basically, all of your complaint that it's blocking too much is not going to happen anymore. Because you'll have access to whatever you need. The part that may be offensive will be blocked. Now, the biggest chiddush is the technology is it's able to look at an image, each image, and can instantly figure out if this particular image is inappropriate. Bigger chiddush is a video. If you go to a video on YouTube, it can immediately scan the entire video without even realizing it, and it can basically block out the parts of the video that are inappropriate, both in words and in images. The sophistication of this technology is mind-boggling, how sophisticated it is. And even if you don't use this technology, the other technologies, the old technologies, have also advanced light years compared to what it used to be years ago. I remember years ago when we first started, we had filters. It was problematic. The filters were good, not good, this, that, all different types, whatever it is. You have to customize them in order for it to be good for Orthodox Jews. It was very complicated. Now, Baruch Hashem, there is no question that there is technology that is very good and is very safe, and we have tools to deal with the issues that we're facing. So what I want to tell you is something was on top of my mind. It's very interesting. I forgot. Okay, let's read a little bit more. Get to the next page. We're going to stop. Pass next halacha. Halacha test. The ikur chayzik hachasidus mitchil leviat soif. Okay, that's what I was saying. The ultimate filter. There is one filter service which I spoke to the founder probably 15 years ago. I had a very long conversation with him. It's still in existence. It's called Covenant Eyes. CovenantEyes.com. He was he's a Christian, a real stark Christian. Him and his wife, they started this. It is by far the ultimate filtering system, and no one wants to touch it. What is it? It filters absolutely nothing. Nothing. The only thing is, every single thing page that you go to, is recorded, and is emailed every day, every so often, to your rabbi, to your mother, to your father, to your chaverim. You have to give emails, and the emails have to be, you know, confirmed of certain close people. And yeah, here's the computer. Do whatever you want. But you should know, every website you go to, your rabbi will know. Your rabbi is getting, even if the rabbi doesn't look at it, but your rabbi has it. It's on record. The rabbi has it. Your mother, your father, your brother, your children. You got to put in all your closest people. Are you going to play games? You're not going to play games.
Does Hashem have an email address?
No, Hashem doesn't have. Halavai, we should fear Hashem the way we fear one another. So it's gold. Anyone who has this filter is guaranteed not to be nichshol in any, because he knows that he's committing suicide by looking at a website that he should not be going to, because everyone, the whole world, it's on record. 20 years from now, he'll run for office. You're going to run for office?
Yes.
This is a record of all the websites I used to visit. What kind of person are you? Look what they did to that Supreme Court justice. Think of something from 30 years ago. So not right. Can you imagine what they could do with every single person today? These are the websites. You want to be a rabbi? You want to be a position? You want to be a rebbe in yeshiva? And these are the websites you go to? You're a predator. Who knows what you are? Right? You're not playing games. So how come no one wants to? How come no one is willing to install this filter? Not in Lakewood, not in Brooklyn, not me, no one, you know. So what do they say to you? They say, I can't install this filter because, you know, I don't want you to know about my medical history. I have a condition, I have to take medicine, I have to go to a hospital. I don't want you to know about my medical condition, my medical history. I have to go to websites. I don't want you to know about my finances. I don't want you to know that I have a secret Swiss bank account. None of your business. I don't want you to know that I use bitcoins. I don't want you to know that I have my financial assets. That is what the excuse is. Money and health. None of your business. If my rabbi knows I have bank accounts in 5 different banks, they're not gonna let me into shul until I give a donation. If someone finds out that I have a condition, a health issue, they're not going to be mishadech with my children. This is what is the response, documented response of why no one is willing to install the filter called covenant eyes.
Is that true, or is it just an excuse?
So that's what everyone says. And it's a big fat lie. It's a big fat lie. You couldn't care less if your rabbi knows about your medical condition. You couldn't care less if he knows about your bank accounts. It's because you don't want the rabbi to know where you're surfing. And I'm not talking about doing averus. I'm talking about whatever things. I don't want him to know that I have a weakness for a certain television show. for the Brady Bunch. I don't want him to know that I like to watch reruns from the Brady Bunch. Okay, nothing terribly wrong. You understand what I'm saying? We're really fooling ourselves. If we can't install the filter covenant eyes, I can't do it. Okay, I can't do it. I struggle with it. I struggle with it. So, why can't we do it? Why can't I install covenant eyes? Why? I can install all other types of filters and all ways I can't. You know, the trick is you install it. You yourself can't open it up. For me to get the filter open, it takes me 24 hours. It takes me 24 hours in order to get the password, in order that the filter can be opened just for a window of time to make a change in the setting. So, you know, there are techniques where the problem of the adults, by the way, it's another whole issue. When you go to all of these shiurim about how to protect your children, it's baloney, baloney. The problem is not the children. The problem are the adults. The children, if they want to do an avera, they'll do an avera, no matter what. The children don't want to do an avera. The children are much, much stronger than adults in not doing averas. Children are very powerful. A boy learning in yeshiva, he's stark, he's not doing averas. A boy that's not so stark, he'll do averas no matter what. No matter what. Your house is locked down, he'll go find a place where it's not locked down to do whatever he wants. Who is the problem? The problem are not that you go to these conventions, the children, you protect your children, your children, your children. All of these filters are called parental control. It's baloney. Control for the adults. It should be parental control means for the parents. Exactly. Not control the parents for the children. When the parents are stark, it's automatic. It changes the environment in the home among the chinuch that the children also are nizer. And when the parents, there's one standard for me and one standard for my children, it's a recipe for Chorban. So what would the Sefer Chassidim say if we were living today? Who knows? Who knows what he would say? But he definitely touches upon all of these very touchy and sensitive issues. All right, we're going to stop here. Quit while I'm ahead, right? And we're going to take a break. And we're going to then learn about the topic of Parsha Birchas HaMazon. Some very interesting things about doing this.